anywhere from 30 to 60,000 jobs available for those that are in the technology-related industry. We just can't find people to fill those slots, although we really don't want 60,000 more cars on the roads in Northern Virginia. So maybe it's okay. But we even look at schools like Thomas Jefferson, which is our governor's school for science and technology, which was established in conjunction with the technology community in Northern Virginia to try and take those that are have strong aptitudes in math, science, and technology, have them take a lot of classes in those areas. But we're finding, as they've tracked them, more than 51% of those kids do not want to major in science or technology in college. They're going into other fields that are, I'm sure, just as important but aren't taking care of the need that we have here. Interestingly, when you look at the number of people who are in our graduate schools studying math, science, and technology, the majority of them are from other countries studying here in the United States. So we clearly have a challenge in the country, but clearly in Virginia as well, in attracting young people into those areas. And when we have such great need and such demand, particularly in Northern Virginia, which is the area that I represent, we know that we need to do a better job of incentivizing young people into going into those areas as they're furthering their education, so that we have the workers that we need and the workforce that we need to fill those jobs. And I think that's all I need to say. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Martin, would you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from? I'll be right with you, Delegate. Thank you, Delegate. Did you tell everybody that you're from that little community college down in Blacksburg?
Yes, a rather large community college.
Okay.
In Blacksburg,
yes. All right. Thank you. Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Apologize for my late arrival. That's what business will do for you. And so fortunately, it was doing well enough to make me late. I will not add too much at all to what I've only heard from Jean Marie and then, of course, from Delegate Nutter, but there demonstrates in their comments both the highly suburban, urban need and interest, as well as the rural interest as well. And this is important for us all across the entirety of the state to make sure that our mathematics and science education standards and programs are in place and what they ought to be for all of our benefits. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Martin. I appreciate it. Patrick, this is Patrick Cushing. He is our staff attorney. He is an integral part of the Joint Commission on Technology and Science and the Science and Technology Committee of the General Assembly. We're very happy to have him. And Pat Burnham is our clerk. She's the one who really herds all these cats, and so I really appreciate what she does. Without her, none of this is going to work. So, Patrick, do you want to go ahead and do an overview of HGR 25 and the initial staff study?
Patrick has great hair.
Are we going to go through both of these notebooks today? There's not much of him left, is there?
I know, he looks fabulous.
Fabulous. Can't wait till somebody says that about me.
We just figured out that this thing moves, which is very helpful. Mr. Chairman, thank you, members of the committee. Good afternoon. Good morning. HJ 25, as Delegate Cosgrove said, sponsored by Delegate Cosgrove. I'd just like to present basically what's in your packet, the actual text of HJR 25, go over that with you, and a few housekeeping matters, and then we'll move right into presentations. You should find an agenda in your packet, and as you can see, we have several presentations this morning, and stacked in front of you are all of the materials for those presentations. So I'll just move right on. A lot of this you already know, but the purpose of the study is to look at science, math, and technology education in the Commonwealth And our scope is elementary all the way through to secondary undergraduate levels. So it covers the whole spectrum of public education in Virginia. And we're going to look at ways to improve incentives for students to pursue these careers in field. So not only just looking at the education level, but looking at how to move these people who are majoring or studying math and science into the workforce, in the math and science and technology workforce. There are five requirements that are listed in this study. The first is to review the curriculum. This is what we're going to go over today. Review the curriculum from existing public schools in math, science, and technology. We're going to look at K through 12. We're going to look at the community college system. And we also have a presentation by Chev. Another charge that we have is to study the accessibility to these schools. So not only looking at the curriculum, but look at who has access to schools like Thomas Jefferson up in Northern Virginia. Examine the standards of learning for math and science to ensure that the students are learning the proper fundamentals and are learning the math and science and technology related issues that are also developing in new careers. One example of that I know that we've looked at in the Joint Commission on Technology and Science is nanotechnology. So if that's going to be a growing, there's going to be growing workforce demand for that, one of the things that we might want to look at is how do we move students into that type of field? So looking at what fields are growing and how to move students into that and how that's reflected in the standards of learning. Also to review and recommend innovative ways to interest students at all education levels in science, math, and technology. And again, to draw a reference from JCOTS, one of the things we had presentation on was FIRST Robotics, which is something that was JCOTS saw as an innovative and interesting way of getting students interested in math and science in general through this robotics competition. And finally, examining the possibility of encouraging partnerships with educators at the Commonwealth's public schools, higher education, and then moving on into private business and industry and looking to see if there's any partnerships that can be formed with institutions of higher education, K through 12, and then industry. So those are the five basic things that this study joint subcommittee is charged with looking at. Housekeeping matters. First, there's a maximum four meetings in 2006 and four meetings in 2007. This is a two-year study, and we need to have all of our meetings finished by November 30th. So we don't have to have four meetings in 2006, but that's our maximum. So we can decide that at the end of this meeting, how we want to proceed. And the final recommendations of this joint subcommittee, just wanted to review this real quick. It's kind of hidden in some of the language in the study, is that no recommendation shall be adopted if a majority of House members or a majority of Senate members vote against the recommendation and vote for the recommendation to fail, notwithstanding the majority of the vote. That's just a reminder, it's a housekeeping matter. And each year we need to complete an executive summary by the first day of session, which states whether this joint subcommittee intends to submit a full report to the General Assembly. And Nikki Seeds, who is also staffing this joint subcommittee, is not here right now. She staffs education, and we've been put together. She's education. As Delegate Cosgrove mentioned, I staff House Science and Tech and JCOTS. So either of us will be able to be reached for questions or comments or any feedback that you need. We're available here for you if there are any questions, whether it's related to education or science and technology or a mixture of the both. We'll do the best we can to help you out as quickly as we can. So if there are any questions, we can just move right into the presentations that we have. So, yes.
You said that the meetings, you said four meetings per year, is that what you?
Yeah, we have four meetings per year.
And we have to be done by November 30th?
Yes.
Of this year, for this year's meetings?
Yes.
I don't know that we're going to squeeze four into that. But
yeah, exactly. That's why I say we don't have to have four, but that's our maximum. So we're free to have one, two, three, four.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that very much. One other piece of housekeeping for people that aren't familiar with this building, restrooms are go out the door, go back towards the elevators, and they're right next to the elevators. Ladies' room on the left, men's room's on the right. And there's actually drink machines downstairs if you want to take those steps down if you need something to drink. Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it. Next on our agenda, and I am going to try to keep this meeting to as close to 2 hours as possible, and there's a lot of people that have a lot of places to go and things to do. But we have an overview of math, science, and technology curriculum and innovative programming at the elementary and secondary level. This is provided by the Virginia Department of Education. And part one is math and science. And Mr. Fireball, if you're ready, sir, we'd love to hear from you. Now, we have some formidable binders up here, so.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to be able to go through every page of that.
I prepared the binder because I'm going to be referring to a couple different handouts, and I thought it would help it keep it organized.
Absolutely,
that way.
That's great.
Delegate Cosgrove, members of the subcommittee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today about science and mathematics. I put science first there because I come from a science background, so my math colleagues will have to forgive me for that. But I would like to say as we begin that in the process of creating the standards and revising the standards and building the support materials for the standards of learning, Virginia, the Department of Education, and our partners have worked very closely together. And I'd like to point out that one of our partners is on the subcommittee, Dr. Stephen Thornton, who has been president of our professional association of the science teachers in Virginia. And he's been very closely involved and very very much of a wonderful advisor for the last several years in negotiating these standards through and giving us feedback along the way. What I'd like to do is go through, start off sort of with the general at the Big White Notebook. First of all, as you're aware, the Board of Education, the code gives the Board of Education the authority to create the standards, and you notice the last part of that section B there on page two of the that's behind tab number one in the notebook is the actual handout of the presentation. And on page two of that, at the first bullet, there's a section B. The Board of Education shall establish educational objectives known as the standards of learning, which shall form the core of Virginia's educational program. And at the end of that, it says mathematics and science. So that's the code section for authorizing the standards. Then beneath that is the code section, which informs the local school divisions that they shall develop their local curriculum based on and aligned with the standards. And it is the expectation that the local school divisions will exceed the standards of learning, but the standards of learning provide a base for that curriculum, and they will be aligned with the standards of learning. I wanted to give you a brief history of the standards, too, because there are probably a number of folks that think the standards originated in the mid-90s with Governor Allen, but actually the standards began with Governor Dalton back in the very early 80s, with the mathematics and the English standards being the first ones produced. That was in 1982. And they resemble the standards very closely as to what they are today, though we've been through several revisions during that time. In 1983, the science standards came online, and over the years around there, other standards of learning also came online. In 1994, Governor Allen called for the standards to be revised. They had been revised in 1988, but there was a substantial revision in 1994 going into 95, and part of the idea was to increase the level of rigor there, make sure that all the standards were able to be assessed on a statewide assessment and make the standards as understandable to the layperson who picks up the document to read what is required of the students. So with that, with those three objectives, in 1994, committees were established. Actually, the committees were led by four local school divisions. Prince William County led the revision of the science standards, and Fairfax County led the revision of the mathematics standards. We had public hearings in that spring. The board met each month to review the progress on the standards, and 10 public hearings that occurred in March, and the board approved the science and the mathematics standards in June 1995. And I will say the science standards were the first to be approved by the board. So, the code also requires that the standards be revised every 7 years. And we have revised once the mathematics standards in 2001, and the science standards went through a revision process in 2002 with a board approval in 2003. And so we're coming into our next cycle of revision. The mathematics standards will be up in 2008 according to our schedule. Now, what I wanted to do was talk about the structure of the standards, and I've enclosed copies of both the mathematics standards and the science standards, and I've also got some ancillary documents with that in the notebook. Behind tab number 2 is a copy, an actual copy of the standards of learning, and I'll sort of be referring to pieces in there as we talk about this, but I want to give you an overview of the structure of the science standards. If you haven't had the, if you haven't taken the time to look through these, we kept some of the structure that was familiar to public schools over the years with the earlier version of the standards, but we, as I said, we ratcheted up the information, and we moved many of the things that were not easily able to be assessed as elements of our goals. And the goals are very, very important to us, but they are sort of at right angles to the standards, and we hope that school divisions incorporate those goals into the local curriculum, but there are not all elements of the goals are what is part of the SOL assessment. For example, I wanted to point out a couple things with the goals. Number 7 on page 2 of the standards of learning, develop scientific dispositions and habits of mind, including curiosity, demand for verification, respect for logic and rational thinking, et cetera, patience and persistence. So we consider these goals very, very important, and we put them up front, and like I said, we hope that the local school curriculum incorporate these dispositions and habits of mind into their instructional program, and they develop activities and strategies to nurture these kinds of things. Also, as far as the structure of the document, we have a K-12 safety piece. This is another piece that was moved from the standards portion into the goals because safety in science, just like in many career and technical education programs, is very, very critical. It's something that can't be ignored. It's certainly evaluated at the, in the classroom level, and it's certainly something that's attended to because of laboratories that are done beginning in kindergarten, simple laboratories and activities, with rather complex and potentially dangerous things if safety rules are not attended to at the upper levels, biology, chemistry, and physics. But we focus on a general rules of safety there. As well, the department has a safety document posted on the webpage, which goes into much greater detail than the goals here. And then also something very important is the incorporation of instructional technology into the standards. Things like the simple things we've come to expect now, the use of computers, but also elements like GPS and GIS. We have a project right now that's looking at that and incorporating that with our earth science teachers, geography teachers, technology education teachers, and ag teachers. So the technology is critically important, and we built it in that way. The other element I wanted to describe, which really is the heart of how the science standards are formulated from here on in, is on page 4, and this is the investigate and understand piece. There's a definition of it right there. People that have looked at the standards have sometimes said, well, why can't you use additional verbs beside investigate and understand? It seems so redundant. One of the problems we have in science going back into the late 50s to the Sputnik era was that eternal conflict, I guess you say, between the skills of science versus the content of science. And really, it's not a conflict at all. It's both of them working together. And so as we worked on the revision of the standards early on in 1994, it was decided that we would make that statement very clear at the front end, that this is both process and skills and the content. So everything springs from that. So we're saying that investigate means all those science skills that a scientist would recognize or a layperson would recognize, making observations, classifying and sequencing, communicating, measuring, predicting, hypothesizing, inferring, defining and controlling variables in experimentation, etc. So investigate lumps all of those skills together. When we say that the child will investigate food chains, we want them to make observations about food chains. We want them to make inferences about food chains, et cetera. And the same thing with understand. We mean more than just the comprehension of a topic. The understand is broken into several spots there. On the bottom of page 4, you see definitions of those words. We certainly want people to recall information, know that the water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. We want people to explain information. We want people to apply information, analyze it, arrange it, and synthesize it, and make judgments about it. So the understand means all of those pieces. It's not just one verb, but it's a series of verbs. And then what follows is are the standards themselves, kindergarten through physics. And if you will notice, one of the critical pieces of the standards is what we call the 0.1 standard, the K.1, 1.1, 2.1, 3.1, et cetera, which operationalizes those process skills or those science skills. And then the rest of the standards define the content that we expect. And that builds all the way through the document. So that's sort of an overview of the core of the document. You notice that the elementary science standards are divided into strands, too, like they're big headings. And we build those all the way through so you can see how the concepts of force, motion, and energy, or life processes, or living systems, or interrelationships in Earth-based systems build over the grades. And this was very carefully done so that they weave and they build on each other as you go up the grades till you get to the middle school standards, starting with the sixth grade standards, which are labeled as sixth grade standards. I want to point out two documents. If you would go to tab 5 just for a second. Excuse me, tab 6. I'm sorry. It's behind tab 4, but it's the second. There's two documents under tab 4. And there's an appendix document. And what this appendix document does right here, it follows the skills of science all the way up through the grades. And if you open it to the first page, the skill is observing. And you'll see how observing builds between kindergarten through physics. So we want kindergartners to do that. We want physics kids to do that, generally at the 11th and 12th grades. But you notice that what a kindergartner is doing with observation is very, very different from what a physics child is doing with observation. The same thing with each one of those skills, and I won't take up your time here, but if you look at this, you'll notice that the skills in all of those, hypothesizing, observing, variables, et cetera, build up the scale. And this document is just one of the many support documents that we provide to help school divisions develop local curriculum. Now let me shift gears to the mathematics standards. I spent enough time there. I'm sorry, Deborah Bliss here is our mathematics coordinator, and she knows that I'm biasing you with more science than mathematics, but I'm up here and she's not, so. The mathematics standards have a similar kind of structure. If you look behind tab 3, the mathematics document is a little bit bigger than the science document, and it has somewhat of a similar organization. It's not exactly the same. Each one of the standards is a little bit different, but you'll notice that it has many similar features. They start out with, once again, goals, which are very important to them as in the same way that the goals are important to us. And also, those are to be incorporated into the local curriculum as people weave together the standards into the strategies and activities that they expect students to meet during the instruction at whatever grade level that is. And then there is a statement at the front end of each one of the standards, and it starts off with kindergarten, just like in the science, and goes through eighth grade mathematics, and it goes into Algebra 1. There's a statement at the front of each one of those sets of standards that talks about technology and the integration of technology. And I would point out that they have strands as well: number and number sense, computation, estimation, measurement, geometry, probability and statistics, and patterns, functions, and algebra, which, if you notice, begins at kindergarten. So these, once again, build as you go up the grades. So the kids aren't suddenly thrust into algebra, but they've been building algebraic concepts all along from the earliest grade levels. And the high school courses in the document are Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2, Trigonometry, Algebra 2 and Trigonometry, Computer Mathematics, Probability and Statistics, Discrete Mathematics, Mathematical Analysis, and Advanced Placement Calculus. So those are all covered in the standards here. Now, I want to point out that the mathematics people have given a great deal of emphasis to technology, and they have embedded it all through the document. It's very apparent, and we think it's one of the strengths of the document to have the use of computers and graphing calculators and calculators all through the document. Of course, one of the important things that they've got in there, there's a statement, it's on page 7 of the handout that I've given you that I'm reading from or working from. While learning mathematics, students will be actively engaged using concrete materials and appropriate technologies such as calculators and computers. However, facility in the use of technology shall not be regarded as a substitute for a student's understanding of quantitative concepts and relationships for proficiency in basic computations. So the basic computations and proficiency is still critical, but the technology is a support to that. So we want to make that clear, because sometimes it comes up that the technology has replaced those deeper concepts that we expect people to have, but that is certainly not accurate. Now, our standards also have been reviewed by a number of groups. I wanted to talk just briefly about this. I've given you the website of the Fordham Foundation, which does periodic reviews of all standards of all the states. There are other groups too that have done this. The American Federation of Teachers has reviewed the standards as well, and we feel like we've held our own in the standards. And some places where they disagree with us, we have done that on purpose. The recent review of the science standards by Fordham, it came out just at the end of the year with the you may have seen the publicity in the newspaper. It was December, released in mid-December. Virginia science standards. And they use what's called the curriculum framework, which is a board-approved document. We ranked basically at the very top of the standards in the nation. We were ranked about a point behind California standards. And the only area we were given any criticism was in physics. And even some physics people in Virginia disagreed with some of the statements that were slight criticisms of us, but they weren't major criticisms. They're very, very pleased with that. So we were excited
Mr.
about
Chairman,
having that kind of review.
Senator Martin.
Let me get this right.
Yes, sir.
Physics people in the state of Virginia took issue with the minor criticisms that they received from outside the state of Virginia.
Right? They were very, very minor criticisms.
That'd be a surprise.
They mentioned that they were minor statements, but they would.
Sure they are.
They were. I'm not a physics person. I didn't quite get the difference. I'm not sure even after the physics people explained it to me, but they were minor. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, we did receive major compliments on our standards as a whole.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Martin.
My son's a physics teacher. I'll have to take this up with him.
Okay.
Well, Senator Martin, also Mr. Thornton here is our resident physicist on our committee. So, would you care to comment? Equal time here, physicist.
I think I probably sent one of those comments. yes, I thought they were very unfair, and I thought probably the people who wrote that didn't understand what they were talking about. Okay. Yeah, I thought we did very well.
Yeah.
The rules of physics.
Mr. Chairman,
if I
could add something very serious. First, I have a degree in math.
Yes, ma'am.
Secondly, I have four daughters. The youngest one just graduated from high school. My third daughter's at UVA, and she took an AP physics class, as did my younger one. Her intention was to major in physics at UPA, and she couldn't get through the first year because she was not prepared for it. So now she's gonna graduate this year with a degree in international relations and global and culture and commerce minor. So here's a kid that had every intention of going into the sciences, but was so ill-prepared with AP physics her senior year at one of the top high schools in Fairfax County that when she got to the college level, she wasn't prepared. And it isn't just her. I have talked to so many other parents whose kids have had the same encounter. So very seriously, I don't think that our physics AP physics class is preparing these kids to be able to grasp how hard physics is. They're the very first physics 101 in college, and it seems to be a universal problem. So I'd have to say, in all seriousness, I don't know what the little criticisms were, but my criticism as a mom is they're not prepared for college physics when they graduate from high school. And you know, I've got ample firsthand experience with that.
Right. The AP Physics curriculum is a defined curriculum that's not exactly the same as the physics standards and the standards of learning. I too have an experience similar to this. I have twin daughters. They just graduated, one from Virginia Tech and one from University of Virginia, and they both went and interesting. And they went to a math and science technology high school and took virtually every AP course there was, et cetera. I felt they were very well prepared. I have a slightly different issue. I think they found the situation in the college with 300 people in their lecture session that put them off to the process. Neither one of them majored in science or mathematics. One went into the McIntyre School of Business, and now she's got a job making a lot of money. And the other one is about to start. So there are many experiences that the students have, but the AP Physics curriculum is a defined curriculum, and it's verified by an external test by the College Board. So, you know, I'm sorry your daughter had that experience.
Well, Mr. Fisher, if I might, let me expand on this. I actually serve on the advisory board for the College of Engineering at ODU, and in speaking with some of the professors there, they're finding more and more each year that students are unprepared in math and science. They're having to take many more remedial hours of training. This isn't directed to you, so it's not a criticism. Right. We're just bringing it into the conversation. They're having to teach more and more remedial classes to get these kids up to the level they feel they need to be in order to pursue technical degrees. So it is an issue. And I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with anybody here on the committee. I'm just saying that's what I'm hearing as a member of the advisory board, and that's unsolicited. So it is an issue. So I think that's something that we need to look at as the subcommittee on basically the way the kids are prepared to go into education. And Senator Davis and I were just having a little sidebar about the standards. And if you can ask that question, it's a poignant question.
No, it is, and actually I've found that there is an SOL for a class called Computer Mathematics, and being a mathematician, I read through it briefly to see how it was focused, and it is focused very much in gaining computer skills but focusing on solving math problems. One of the things that I've noticed in both of these curriculums is that they haven't changed since I was in high school, the science in particular. It's still chemistry, biology, right. Chemistry, physics, et cetera, and all of those sciences are important sciences, and you can barely fit into a whole school year what you need to learn in each of those sciences, so I understand that. But what I wanted to ask you is, for the direction that we're trying to go in this joint subcommittee, we're really looking at how we prepare kids for technology. And the fact of the matter is that when I was in high school, and I will, for all here, graduated in 1978 and then went to UVA, I mean 74 and graduated from UVA in 78, we didn't have computers. When I graduated from the University of Virginia, they finally, my third year, had the big, huge mainframe, and I went in with my project and I got a box full of cards, and if one of them was out of order, I was cooked. But now the kids do everything with technology, and so it wasn't a part of the curriculum because it didn't exist then, but it's such an important part of what they need to do now. And what I wanted to ask you is, how do we, and I think it's great that they're, you know, that you've got weighed into here that their goal should be to use technology, but I'll tell you something I noticed with my children who have all just graduated over the last 10 years. They use these graphing calculators. I can remember doing logarithms in my exponentials by doing longhand division and then looking in a table in the back of the book to find the answer if my long division was done correctly, and we didn't even have right. calculators to do that. Now they're depending solely on the calculators to do all of that, so they aren't really being required to learn how to do the essential basic math in their brains without a calculator. They're doing all this graphing now. In my opinion, way too much graphing is the focus in calculus and in algebra 2 trig. They go to college, they're not allowed to use a calculator. And because they were never forced to learn it without the calculator in high school, now they're attempting to do a lot of things in college where they're not allowed to use the calculator and they don't know how to do it. So in my mind, the basic skills and the tougher skills that they should be able to do without a calculator, they can't do. And that's part of the problem that they have when they go to college. But I don't see in the math and science curriculum a subject that is just based on technology. And I'm wondering in this day and age if we need to be having a discussion about a required class that's technology and only technology oriented with appropriate measurements through testing, because that seems to be the only way we can measure. And I'd like to hear your response to that, because going through these two books, they're encouraged to do it, and I'm very clear as a mom on how they're doing it, but they're not focusing on technology classes unless they happen to be in a technology high school. And I wonder if it isn't time to be requiring a class on that somewhere in the middle school or high school years.
Technology interpreted a couple different ways, both handheld calculators, graphing calculators, computers, GPS systems, et cetera, and also from the looking at it from the sort of the pre-engineering kind of viewpoint of what we incorporate with our career and technical education is technology education. Those courses are available, and the fact whether it's an electronic technology or the pre-engineering aspect of it, they are out there, they are available, and they can be incorporated into the local curriculum. Certainly, certainly we have technology incorporated in the standard subjects, like you said, like these are the same subjects when I was in school, and these are the same subjects that were available when my father was in school, or many of them are similar. But you know, the physics and chemistry are solid pieces, by the way, which are biology, physics, and chemistry are required for admission to University of Virginia, or virtually all, if not all, of the colleges in Virginia. So that is that's an expectation of the universities. Now, whether technology, a course in technology, be required for graduation is in the domain of the Board of Education and the standards of accreditation, and that is maybe something that the board will visit. And certainly, as I understand it from your recommendations, their actions will follow. So I would I don't want to say yes we need that or no we don't need it. That's not my domain to say. That's really in the realm of the Board of Education. And I would certainly think if you think that's very important, then that would be a goal of your committee or subcommittee to make that recommendation.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman.
Just one moment. And I want to agree with actually both of you. I know it's really not your purview right to say, yeah, we're going to do that. Okay. But you need to understand where this subcommittee is coming from. And sure. I think you do, is that we are concerned that we are not putting forth the students out of high school into undergrad and really putting out good numbers of technology-related degrees. We all get a listing of all the degrees that are offered by both public and private institutions. And when we look at liberal arts degrees, they're this high. And when we look at math degrees, literally, they're this high. And part of the subcommittee is to see how we can maybe stimulate the interest in technology-related careers. And I think that's what Senator Davis is bringing forth. And it needs to be a little more emphasis on the technology. You know, I had to take biology and algebra 2 and trig and geometry, right, and the rest. And that was, 100 years ago when I was in high school. But it still, you still had to do it. So that hasn't changed that much. The SOLs are, I think, an immediate step to make sure it's being taught. But I think you can see where we're coming from. So that, please don't take any criticism.
Certainly.
On this. Okay, this is, we're just discussing. Now, Delegate England.
Mr. Chairman, one of the things that I hope that we get into and keep in mind with this committee is also the interrelationship between these subjects, particularly when going from the high school level to the college level. And what I'm thinking of is, I went to the United States Air Force Academy, where I earned a Bachelor of Science in History. Every degree there is a technical degree, basically. And one of the things that was interesting was the kids who showed up, cream of the crop from across the country, that they all took AP physics and things like this, but a lot of folks couldn't handle the physics curriculum in particular, and several other of the technology and science-oriented parts of the curriculum, but it wasn't because they were necessarily ill-equipped in physics per se. It was, in almost every case, it was because they were ill-equipped in math. And it's that, that foundation of math fundamentals that, you know, when you, if you get that in high school, that's what prepares you to take those advanced physics courses and things like that. So I just hope that as we go down this road, we bear in mind that the problems a person may be having, say, with college level physics, may be related to the physics they took in high school, but it may also be related to the lack of preparation in math or other related areas.
I'll agree with that, and that's the point that Senator Debilais Davis brought up just a couple of minutes ago about the math preparation. So we know we have work to do, and I think we have some really great success stories in our public education. We're just trying to find ways to stimulate it and make it a little better.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to chime in here. I think we're looking at high school and college as if they are different entities. I think the earlier we expose our students who are interested in science to college life, it will be wonderful for everyone. There are great programs. If we have an aspiring science major, taking a physics class during the summer months in a community college or a university nearby, we expose them to the culture of college life, because I believe that that's the fundamental difference. In high school, the teacher, you know, kind of nurture the students, whereas in college, you are kind of on your own in a class of 300 students. So the earlier we expose them to the expectations in college, I think the better for that student.
Thank you. Secretary Wagner.
Mr. Chairman, it occurs to me in listening to this committee that maybe it makes sense for us to survey the Virginia colleges in their science and math departments to determine where our students are weak.
That's a good idea.
So that we can really compare that with our SO, you know, with our standards, and try and determine what we might want to strengthen in order to make that connection.
I think that's an outstanding idea, and looking at Chev, folks over there are going, oh, here we go again. But anyway, Patrick, can we take that as an action item, please, to survey our colleges and universities and finding out the weaknesses, remedial needs, et cetera.
May I add some comment to that?
Please do.
The Virginia's P16 Education Council is beginning a study on the weaknesses in high school preparation that's being coordinated through the Virginia Community College system. So we have a funded study on that right now that's just begun from our National Governors Association grant. You may be aware of. So that is currently beginning. So that may be something you might want to connect in with. And we plan to present the results of that next spring. So that's on our. We hope to have a policy form to present that study.
And we'll look forward to seeing that. But we'll still get basically this anecdotal evidence before we go. Now I'll tell you what. And I hate to almost cut you off, but we still have half of your presentation to go on technology.
Sure.
So if you can go ahead and kind of wrap up your half, and let's go to technology.
Okie doke. Let me just want to point out a couple things. We have I've given you press releases behind tab 7, and what I've done is summarize some of these on the following pages. The national assessments, our performance on the SAT has gone up, and it's gone up dramatically. And I've sort of synthesized some of those major points here, but the full press release is at the back of the document. But on page 8 and 9, our mathematics scores in Virginia have gone up more than any other state that's among the SAT predominant states. Also, two other major national assessments, the National Assessment of Education Progress, called the Nation's Report Card. Virginia did very, very well at 4th and 8th grade, where the assessments were conducted. Basically, we are at the tip top in 4th grade among several groups. And same thing with mathematics. We're doing extremely well in mathematics on these national assessments that were conducted in 2005. So they are verifiers that our standards are there, and they're solid and they're working. Also, I wanted to point out on page 12 of the handout in the notebook behind tab 1, We do the graduation requirements for mathematics and science for the standard diploma. There are 3 mathematics required for graduation, and 3 laboratory sciences are required. And for the advanced studies diploma, that's 4 mathematics and 4 science that are required. So we do have as compared with many other states, about half of our kids are receiving the advanced studies diploma where 4 math and 4 science are required. And that diploma is probably, if not the most rigorous, one of the most top-tier rigorous diplomas in the nation.
Delegate Saxman.
Also, I just, in way of concluding, I wanted to point out on page...
Just before you conclude, Delegate Saxman has a question.
Before we leave, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we leave this topic here, obviously the track record in Virginia is impressive, and certainly we've been doing the best we can from the legislative perspective to help that. My question to you is, are we realizing these successes throughout the Commonwealth, or are there areas of tremendous excellence that are skewing those scores, particularly where we have, obviously the economy and the culture is more geared towards that?
The National Assessment of Education Progress is done by a sampling method, and they sample all the groups around the state. So it's not every fourth grader and every eighth grader take the mathematics portion or the science portion, and they do a statistical sample so that it's representative of the state. Now, we know from our standards of learning test that, yes, some school divisions, some schools even in one division on one side of a county versus the other side of a county may have a different score. So we know that everyone has moved up, and there are still some gaps. And that is one of the things that does concern us, that we do have some performance gaps in the state. Among subgroups, as shown by the No Child Left Behind, the EYP, and also we know that from NAEP, we see the performance of African American students and SAT as well is not the same as white students.
Could you provide that information to us throughout the course of this subcommittee?
Yes, sir. And the press releases in the back of the document give you the great detail on breaking out of the NAEP scores and the standards of learning scores. We can share that. All of those are posted on our webpage, but we can answer any questions you want to raise about that. Yes, sir. I just want to, in order so not to take up everybody's time, I wanted to point out, beginning on page 13, we have 14 governor schools, 14 out of the 18 governor schools, the academic year schools, that have a focus on mathematics, science, and technology. And those 14 schools, what we've done here is we've shown you their math and science and technology courses in the grid over there. And you also see what counties and cities, school divisions that they serve. So these 14 schools serve a significant portion of the state. Now we have 4 other schools, and they also have rigorous programs, but their primary focus is not mathematics or science, but they still have and meet the requirements of the state advanced studies diploma.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question about that?
Yes.
I actually looked ahead at this, and what I find so very interesting is, well, you look at the Blue Ridge Governor's School, and they only have 4 classes listed. Of course, you look at Thomas Jefferson up in Fairfax County, it's like a page and a half long. There's clearly a wide discrepancy when you look at each of these schools on how many classes are offered. Is that just a... is that due to the fact that it's easier to get teachers that can handle these kinds of classes in wealthier areas and not get them in more rural and less wealthy areas? What would you say is the reason why there's such a disparity between the number of classes and types of classes that are offered in these governor's schools?
Each one of these governor's schools is very, very different and serves a very different area. And also not all of them have been online for the same amount of time. For example, the school in Fairfax and has been around for several years, whereas some of these schools, we've got a one governor school that's just basically come online. And so I know that the length of time has an impact on the types and numbers of courses that they offer. And also the population density has an effect of that too. It requires a certain number of students in order to offer all of these classes. Certainly that's something that affects every school. Rural schools may have trouble offering AP Physics because, for example, there might be only a limited number of students that would want to take AP Physics. And that's why we have the advanced placement, the virtual advanced placement high school in Virginia, where you can take a full range of science courses online or via satellite. And that was an initiative of Governor Warner.
Senator Deadlife Davis.
Would it be possible for us to receive the number of students who are enrolled at each of these schools? I would be very intrigued to look at the student population and kind of compare it to how many classes are offered to get a sense of, you know, how many, what you just directed,
sure.
Part of your answer was how many kids are even interested in taking these classes.
We can get you that information. I don't have that at hand, but I can get it early next week.
Well, and I think that's important because if the number of classes is tied to the interest, then what that's telling me is that we, as you look at the Commonwealth as a whole, we're not doing a very good job of creating interest in some of the more rural areas. And workforce training in these areas is so important because without that infrastructure, we're never going to attract technology companies to the very areas that need the jobs. So I would be very interested to know what the student population is
right.
in each of these schools.
And the array of courses offered is also based on the number of students in that school. If it's a school with 35 kids to begin with, then it's not an issue of interest.
If we could have the student population,
sure.
That would be very helpful.
Great.
Thank you.
We can do that.
And I'm going to make one more comment before
yes,
you close.
Sir.
This will be the last one we need to make. Looking at these different governor schools, and they're all excellent programs. However, we do have to look at what is offered at these governor schools and the lack of equity between different areas. Now, Senator DeWeiss Davis brought up the Thomas Jefferson High School offering here, and it's a very long offering. And to be honest with you, when I thought about this study, I had Thomas Jefferson High School in mind because I went to Annandale High School, and that's before Thomas Jefferson was. That's right, and we all know that Thomas Jefferson didn't have much of a football team anymore, but that's okay. But here's the deal: we look at New Horizons Governor School, which serves the city of Hampton, Newport News, Pocosin, James City, Williamsburg, counties of Gloucester, and York. That's about the closest to my area as we come. And there are 10 classes offered. Well, per capita, we have just as many smart kids in Hampton Roads. Stanton has just as many smart kids as Northern Virginia. He says he has more, but I doubt that. But the point is that we need to make these types of opportunities available throughout this state, and that's what we're looking at. So I'm glad you have this here, and that's some of the things we need to work together. But if you can go ahead and conclude now, because we have to get onto the technology.
Right. Yes, sir. And I'd also inject the comment that each one of the governor schools and its board decide what classes are offered. This is not something that we decide at the Department of Education. So they have that choice there. Okay. Just on another note, there are other math and science centers, specialty centers that are not governor schools. I don't have a full list of those, but I've given you an example on page 17 of the handout. Some of those that are well known and in the area, they're funded completely by the local school division. And these have had a high success, and they offer quite an array of courses, things like electron microscopy and you name it, et cetera. And I wanted to bring out just some of the initiatives that the state supports. There are three that are listed right there, or four that are listed right there. The Mathematics and Science Partnership, we are currently and have been working with higher ed to bring everybody up to that high level of quality of teaching mathematics and science. And we've been focusing a lot on middle mathematics. That's a major area, but also algebra as well. And one last thing, on page 19, I wanted to bring out one example of something that I think is important or needs to be brought to your attention. The Virginia Junior Academy of Science. I noticed in the overview that Mr. Cushing presented that one of the objectives was to see where we could make connections with higher education and business and industry. Virginia has a long history with its Junior Academy of Science. It's a program where kids bring their original research. This is middle school and high school kids, and very, very successful. And I hope that you may consider at some point maybe asking the folks representative of the Junior Academy to come and speak about their program. It's an outstanding program, and I think that any help that this committee or recommendations could make about that could turn it in from a great program into something that could even meet many of the goals that you're after here. So are there any other questions? Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Technology has permeated through all seven programs of the career in technology. But in particular, we do have technology education, and I will go through their K through 12 program. The Code of Virginia does direct the Board of Education to oversee and to guide the seven areas of career and technical education to fulfill the provisions of the federal, what was called the Vocational Education Act of 1963, and has been amended numerous times and is, as we speak, on the verge of reauthorization as the Carl D. Perkins Career and Technical Education Act of 2006. Also, the code designates the Board of Education to incorporate into career and technical education the standards of learning from math, science, English, social studies, including history, and any other subject areas as may be appropriate. Along with that, it allows the board to substitute industry certification or state licensure examinations for standards of learning assessments for the purpose of awarding verified credits for career and technical education where appropriate. And you do have a set of the state-approved, board-approved industry certifications that we have given you. It's inside of the blue packet, I believe. That's the overview, but then there's also within that packet, and this is, it looks like this. It's just a listing. The technology education is one of our program areas, and they do have goals for K through 12. The program provides experiences that lead to the development of technological literacy for students in K through 12. It's consistent with their abilities, interest, and educational needs. Students completing a technology education program will achieve the following goals. They comprehend the dynamics of technology, including its development, impact, and potential. They employ technological processes of problem solving, creating, and designing. Analyze the behavior of technological systems and subsystems, including the tools, materials, processes, energy, information, and people involved in those systems. They apply scientific principles, engineering concepts, and technological systems in the processes of technology. They discover and develop their personal interest and technological systems in the processes of technology. They discover and develop, related to a wide variety of technologically oriented courses and careers. In the elementary school grades K through 5, the focus of technology education is to develop an awareness and to reinforce the learning. K through 12, students explore how people create, use, and control technology. They apply the technology in their mathematics, their language arts, their social studies, science, health, and fine arts in solving problems associated with technology. And they use the tools and materials to explore personal interests, which are related to technology. It helps them to exhibit self-confidence through the use of technology. You also have a manual that is a teacher's resource guide titled Children's Engineering, a teacher's resource guide for design and technology in grades K through 5 that has been developed and disseminated in the state of Virginia. This guide identifies technology-based experiences that enhance the content of selected standards of learning in English, math, science, history, and social science.
Let me interrupt real quickly for the committee members. That's the other big white notebook you have, okay? So.
You also have that on a CD as well.
We do. All right. Oh, Patrick has them. That's great. That'll help.
This guide also enables teachers to introduce children to the technological world around them. And it's designed to be a companion to the standards of learning and a resource for enhancing the locally developed curriculum. Technology experiences in the elementary school are designed to help children learn and achieve educational goals of the total elementary school program. These experiences orient the children to technology, help to develop their psychomotor skills, and provide the basis for informed attitudes about technology and technology's influence in society. Technology-based activities are integrated into the total elementary school curriculum to help motivate the children and reinforce the learning while they gain an awareness. On the middle school level, which is grades 6 through 8, we have exploratory technology. The program consists of 3 levels of courses. Each level can be offered for 9, 12, 18, or 36 weeks and includes the 4 basics of technology: resources, processes, systems, and impacts. The first level stresses resources and problem solving. The second level accentuates creativity and problem solving, where students build models of existing inventions and explore possibilities for future inventions and innovations. The third level emphasizes technological systems. By simulating these systems, assessing their impacts, and relating these discoveries to the experiences of the 2 previous levels, students acquire a more global understanding and view of technology. Their overall learner outcome is to provide them with rich experiences at all 3 levels to help them acquire the knowledge and process skills of technology. In high school, grades 9 through 12, our program content in these grades stems from the study of the variety of technologies and challenges that the students' ability to apply scientific principles, engineering concepts, and technological systems. The program for the high school provides challenging experiences and ensures self-actualization of the adolescent student. The students gain a broader perspective of the importance of human innovation and the ingenuity in refining existing technologies and developing new ones. They will also continue to develop higher order thinking skills such as questioning, investigating, and researching. The high school program consists of 8 focused areas: biotechnology, communication and information technology, control technology, design and technology, engineering, principles of technology, production technology, technical design, and illustration. Within those 8 focus areas, there are 68 courses. I've included within my overview the enrollments of students in technology programs from the middle school level up. Currently in exploring and technology, the most recent figures that we have, of course, would be 2005-06. There are slightly over 88,000 students taking technology courses. At the high school program, they are broken down by program area. I'm not going to read each of those, but they are listed by the course or by the program area. One area that I would address is information technology fundamentals with approximately 3,800 students. That program can be taught by a technology education teacher, a business and information technology teacher, and they go not only into technology education related fields, but also into the business and information technology fields as well. Principles of technology, which is one of the program areas that I cited, started in 1997 with the approved changes to the regulations establishing standards for accrediting public schools in Virginia. Section 8, VAC 20-131-50 of those regulations sets forth the requirements for the standards and advanced studies diplomas. And within that, it is allowed for a student who takes 2 years of principles of technology to substitute that for the physics credit, but they must take both years of the principles of technology in order to do that. If they take that sequence, it counts as 1 laboratory science and 1 elective credit. They must also complete Algebra 1 and 2 other laboratory science courses as specified by the accrediting standards prior to enrolling in the principles of technology. Currently, we have new courses that are under development, Aerospace Science and Technology 1 and 2, Geospatial Technology 2, and initial research is being conducted pertaining to nanotechnology. One of our projects that has been ongoing in the state is Project Lead the Way. This offers a four-year sequence of courses which, when combined with college preparatory mathematics and science courses in high school, introduces students to the scope, rigor, and discipline of engineering and engineering technology prior to entering college. The program includes five courses: Introduction to Engineering Design, Digital Electronics, Principles of Engineering, Computer Integrated Manufacturing, and Engineering Design and Development. Currently, 15 school divisions have implemented Project Lead the Way in 30 schools, and we will be again offering a grant possibility for additional schools this fall. Project Lead the Way has a comprehensive organizational structure in place to support teachers' implementation of the program. Key elements include local, state, and national staff development, model instructional materials, and student-centered engineering challenges. The curriculum framework provides a vehicle for students to utilize cutting-edge engineering equipment and resources. Major benefits of the project include an introduction to students to the careers in engineering and engineering technology. It is a coordinated program that links secondary schools, community colleges, and colleges. A teacher training program that provides pre-assessment and core training in a summer training institute, and it has continuous ongoing training each year for the teachers. It provides distance learning with scheduled events and tutorials available on CD for guided practice for teachers on their own or in groups. It is a process by which high schools may become nationally certified. It is a process by which qualified high school students may receive college credit for their Project Lead the Way courses. And there is an annual in-service conference for school guidance department personnel as well. Our industry certifications, as I mentioned earlier, first came about in November 2005 when the Board of Education approved a list of 172 industry certifications, and I correct that. That was the latest list. It came about 5 years prior to that. The purpose is to make sure that we maintain the industry certifications that are offered for verified credit, are credible, that they are something that our students will learn from. They are all from recognized either a state licensure or a nationally certified board recognition, because we do not develop them here in the state. The technology education currently offers industry certifications and assessments in the following area: pre-engineering engineering technology assessment, which is NOCTE, and that is a National Occupational Competency Testing Institute, which offers many of our assessments; desktop publishing software certifications through BrainBench; A+ through CompTIA; A+ operating systems technologies; A+ core hardware examination; certified electronic technician associate; electronic technology assessment; student electronics technician certification; manufacturing technology; IT essentials level 1 through the Cisco systems; AutoCAD certification; and currently research is being conducted for industry certifications pertaining to geospatial technology, SolidWorks, and MasterCAD. These industry certifications offer the following benefits to Virginia students. It is evidence that the student has completed an advanced educational preparation. It increases their job opportunities for advancement in a career pathway, and increased self-confidence and self-worth for students because they have obtained a standard recognized by industry, professional, or trade associations. Technology education as a program area also provides for the students a student organization, Technology Student Association. Each of our career and technical program areas has such a student organization with the appropriate name, of course, relating to their area. The last enrollments for the TSA, middle school, approximately 4,200 students with 55 schools, high school, almost 7,000 students represented in 100 high schools. Do you have any questions?
A couple. These technology student associations, I noticed, you know, looking through your listing of technology classes, et cetera, I think when we're talking technology here, we're thinking hard sciences, the technology that most people think when they think of technology. But in here we have fingernail technicians.
That is within the trade and industrial education.
But I'm asking, are those kids part of the trade student, technology student associations? I mean, do they have groups, subsets of that in there?
Yes, there are groups. Trade and industrial education are the VETI. The ones that you have in the overview, in the brief overview, are strictly technology education and the technology student association. Okay. The nail techs would come under what is called VICA Skills USA.
And I may have missed something here, but AutoCAD 2000 certification was actually eliminated November 30th of 2005. Was it replaced with another AutoCAD?
2004.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks. I couldn't find it in there, but I thought it was probably there. Other questions? Yes, Ms. Fulton.
I ask you to provide us with more information about Project Lead the Way.
I'm going to turn this back over to my specialist. George Wilcox was Technology Education Program Area Specialist just until recently and has now become what we refer to in Career and Technical as a Cluster Coordinator. But he has worked with Project Lead the Way, and I would ask that he address any of the questions.
Well, okay, I just meant some written information about it, and I also would like to see more information about the middle school technology courses.
We can provide you with both of those.
What Senator Devilance Davis wanted, I'd like to learn more about that.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of questions. Does anyone know what the student middle school and high school student population is in Virginia? It would be very helpful for us to just understand what percentage of the total number of kids are involved in this so that we can see where we are in the grand scheme of things and so that we can look at what we need to be doing to encourage perhaps more schools to participate in this. Because I think a lot of what this is geared toward isn't for those that are geared towards college necessarily. Some of it is. But a lot of this appears to me to be geared for kids who aren't going to go to college, who have a good skill set when they graduate from high school so that they can go right into the job market in any of these technology-related fields. And I think maybe that's kind of part of what you're geared towards
part
too
of
as
it.
Well.
As a former career and technical teacher, principal of two regional centers, one of those was New Horizons Governor School and Technical Center. What I would say, and I've also been in a comprehensive high school of 2,000 students, the vast majority of students who we find taking career and technical courses go on to further education. They don't just stop at the high school level. Quite often the courses that they take in career and technical education in middle school and high school are almost an exploratory level for what they want when they go on to college. So a lot of those students do go on to post-secondary.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Senator? Do you track the high school graduates? Do you know how many have gone on go through this program?
We track career and technical education completers. We do a follow-up the year after they've graduated to see if they've gone on to work, post-secondary education, military.
Would it be possible for us to have those statistics
yes,
as well?
Yes, it would.
Great, thank you.
Ms. Rosa, if you're going to have somebody else tag team for you, we have probably another maybe 5 or 10 minutes available for this section, okay?
If you'd like any more of the information on Project Lead the Way, George could
answer
those.
Get a brief overview there.